Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. Special Counsel Jack Smith is appealing to reinstate the Florida classified documents case against Donald Trump. He says Judge Eileen Cannon's decision to dismiss it because Smith wasn't appointed by the U.S. Senate is strained and nonsensical. The former president was in Michigan today. It's one of the battleground states in this November's election.
I'm in this fight to defeat the corrupt political class in Washington that's hurting you very badly, whether we know it or not. And to reclaim America's future as a free and sovereign nation ruled by the American people.
The president speaking to the National Guard Association in Detroit. The plains in the Midwest are bracing for excessive heat over the next few days. The temperatures in some places could reach over 100 degrees and feel even hotter. Stocks started the week with a new benchmark. The Dow closed at an all-time high. The S&P and the Nasdaq were lower for the day. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin grocers are pushing back against accusations of price gouging. The Wisconsin Grocers Association has written an open letter saying local stores operate with razor-thin profit margins. Republicans are urging Donald Trump to stop personally attacking Kamala Harris and strike a new tone. Strategist Bill McCaution on WISN-TV's Upfront.
He needs to bring them back with a little bit of humor, a little more humility, and focus on the issues.
Kamala Harris advisor David Plouffe tells the program that Democrats have new momentum that will open up their strategy.
She'll have the financial resources and the people resources while you're throwing everything you can in a Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. And I mean everything.
The election is 70 days away. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Law enforcement authorities are investigating a shooting in Duluth over the weekend. According to the Duluth Police Department, officers responded to reports of a shooting on the 600 block of Woodland Avenue at around 1 p.m. on Sunday. When they arrived, they found some casings in the area, but nobody was reported injured. Officials say the shooting occurred after a verbal altercation, and the people suspected to be involved in the incident were uncooperative with police. An investigation into the incident is underway. The city of Duluth is looking for community input on an initiative to increase sports tourism. According to a Northern News Now report, the city will host three open houses next week to give residents a chance to weigh in on the Athletic Venues Reinvestment Initiative. The initiative seeks to guide over $30 million of investment into spaces that bring regional sports tourism, including improvements to existing spaces and the creation of new ones. The open houses will be held Tuesday and Wednesday at varying locations. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers drop one to the A's. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers got home runs from Gary Sanchez and Willy Adames, but came up short, losing 4-3 to the A's in Oakland. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
The story was, you know, obviously that they stuffed us offensively. We had one at bat with a guy in scoring position. We hit two home runs, and we flew out or popped out nearly every time.
The Crew are back in Milwaukee and host the Giants tomorrow night. NFL roster reductions. Packers wide receiver Grant DuBose was praised during training camp for his speed, his routes, and his downfield blocking. But will that be enough to make the team?
You just got to have faith. And I've been telling myself this, control what you control. It's above me. Ultimately, it's in the decision of the people in the front office. You know, hopefully, you know, I did enough to where, you know, they think highly of me, you know, to bring me back. But if they don't, that's just that, you know, kind of just on to the next. You know, that's the business that we're in. That's just kind of how you got to approach it.
That's Packers wide receiver Grant DuBose. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Warm and muggy through the evening, waves of showers and thunderstorms tonight. Some could be severe. Damaging wind gusts the biggest concern, although large hail and isolated tornadoes possible. Still a few storms tomorrow, muggy, but not as warm. Right now it's 90.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Maggie Dawn.
The dozen Republican White House lawyers who served in the administrations of Presidents Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, and George W. Bush just endorsed Kamala Harris?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It is the happy hour. This is Dom Crudy is off. Rich is on the board, and you are on the lines. 844-967-2789. Really love this piece of the New Republic in the Achilles heel of Donald Trump, the ridicule, making him small. We do have some sound. We'll get to that today as well, because there's some specific references by Kamala Harris on how Donald Trump is an unserious man. You know, I've been saying this for a very long time as well. I think a lot of you think that as well. He's unserious. Those that support him are unserious people. I mean, you stand up in front of a crowd and talk about the late, great Hannibal Lecter, Dr. Hannibal Lecter, pardon me, get the name right. The late, great Dr. Hannibal Lecter, don't you wonder? Tell, I'm from the Midwest. 844-967-2789. Also, Donald Trump apparently waffling, and him and his campaign maybe disagreeing, maybe agreeing on the terms of the September 10th debate. Should the mics be on? Should the mics be off? And there's lots of money in politics. We have some news on that as well. And we also, this hour, we're going to get to, beyond some of the highlights and the sound of the DNC, some specifics. NBC reporting, quote, Harris campaign slams Trump agenda as a deficit bomb, seeking to flip the script on fiscal responsibility. And the subheadline here, so far, Harris has proposed about $2 trillion in new spending and $5 trillion in tax revenues. Trump has backed about $5 trillion in tax breaks without paying for all of it. Who is the fiscally responsible politician, I would ask? But we have some callers that have been waiting. Let's get to them. 844-967-2789. Our pal from the leftist coast, Tom. Hey, Tom, happy days. What did you think of Kamala's speech? What did you think of the DNC? And what do you got for us?
I thought it was incredible. Like I said before, I think that, we just have to really get out and vote. We have to check our registration, make sure Project 2025 is not coming to a town near us.
Have a vote plan, Tom.
Scary stuff. Unfortunately, my vote doesn't count as much in California as yours does in Wisconsin. So I would say all the Wisconsinites, please please don't make us go Project 2025. But no, I think that in this debate, Dom, I think Lawrence O'Donnell was talking about on his show, they have the technology and the ability now with AI and all these different things to actually fact check in real time. And what they would do is they'd put it right on the side of the TV. And you know Donald Trump's not going to say anything new than what he's already said. He's already talked about border. He's already talked about inflation. He's already talked about this stuff. I don't think Harris should have to waste her time correcting the record every time he lies. I think that that's the responsibility. Just like when we call into, you know, talk shows. It's like, you know, we shouldn't have to waste our time correcting the lies of the right wing. We should have some pushback on that, so therefore we can actually talk about our affirmative position rather than getting in the sandbox with them.
All right, so let me ask you practically though, Tom, with that. So I'm watching the debate, and this real time fact check is occurring. So as a consumer of the media, I would see, you know, basically like a stream on the side of what was factual, what was not, what was said. Would Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, would they see this as well? This, they wouldn't be available to them. So this is, I just want to be clear. Is this specifically only for the audience's sake?
It would be for the audience's sake, but also I think that the moderators also, when they hear things like, oh, you know, Democrats want to, you know, kill children after 9 months, come on. Everyone knows that that's a lie. You know, and I'm so sick of some of these fact checkers where they go, oh, that's mostly true or mostly untrue or what, it's either true or false. You know what I mean? It's like, this is getting, that's just ridiculous. I heard also that the Trump campaign saying that they need to go back to talking about inflation and gas prices and grocery prices and the border. Well, we pretty much have solved all that on the Democratic side. So I don't know what they're going to talk about except for lies. All they do is throw whatever they can against the wall, and hopefully it sticks. That's their whole plan. And again, this all goes back to having an authoritarian dictator over a democracy. And the Supreme Court has already moved us in that direction. We need to win the House, we need to win the Senate, and we need to win the presidency so we can actually get the agenda passed through that is the American people's agenda.
Right on, Tom. Always appreciate it. Good point. You know, it'd be nice to have some sort of fact check. Now, there are qualifying statements. We quote PolitiFact sometimes here on the show. There can be varying degrees of accuracy, right? Some things are flat out pants on fire. Some things that have some sense of truth, but, you know, are missing a few points. So not everything, I would say, is exactly black and white. I mean, this is a ton of gray in this world, Tom, but that aside, if we can account for that and have someone, some objective, right? Who's going to be the arbiter of that? And certainly, whoever moderates the debate, if someone says the late great, you know, Hannibal Lecter was a doctor in Florida and my best friend, and, you know, acts like this fictional character was like somehow true and has any relevance, certainly an obvious blatant untruth like that should be called out by those who are quote unquote moderating. If it's CBS, if it's CNN, if it's the devil's advocates, if you're with us and you're saying some trash, and you call me a 6'4" black man, I'm going to say, you know, that's absolutely false, sir. You know, so the audience knows that's not the case. But there can be some gray areas, let's call it, Tom, and how that gets handled, I think would be important. But I hear what you're saying, ma'am. 844-967-2789. The Wall Street Journal also had an op-ed talking about Kamala and what could possibly happen if she gets elected. Let's get into this just briefly again. 844-967-2789. This was from 3 days ago. The Senate takes on the filibuster. Chuck Schumer says he'll kill the 60-vote rule if Democrats control the Senate, and Harris implies that she's on board. And I think to myself, yeah, yeah. As Kamala Harris soared over the messy details of policy this week, the gritty tooth was delivered by Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. If Democrats run the election table this year, he said the 60-vote Senate filibuster rule is a goner. Again, this is the Wall Street Journal opinion piece, their editorial board. Now, Democrats tried to make exceptions to the filibuster after they won control of 50-50 Senate in the 2021 Georgia runoffs. Schumer's attempt fell two votes short, the holdouts being Manchin and Sinema. We got it up to 48, the Democratic leader said this week, according to NBC. Sinema and Manchin voted no. That's why we couldn't change the rules. Well, they're both gone. Now, the Wall Street Journal editorial board says, yeah, that's for sure. The pair were run out of the Senate and the Democratic Party for their apostasy of supporting the filibuster as a barrier against runaway majorities. Oh, is that what it is? A barrier against runaway majorities? Isn't majority supposed to make the rules? I'm just wondering. The filibuster isn't in the Constitution. They just decided to come up with a rule. Oh, I got a rule. Let's make a new rule. Let's vote on the rule. Because we don't want the majority swinging things back and forth and back and forth. Oh, okay. Why not? I continue. Schumer says that won't happen again. And looks looking at Democratic candidates, he's probably right. The Wall Street Journal editorial board writes, the Democratic majority went up to 51 after the 2022 elections. Manchin's seat in West Virginia is likely to go Republican this year, but Sinema's Arizona is leaning Democratic, and the party's Senate candidate there, Rep. Ruben Gallego, favors filibuster reform. They put reform in quotes. In other words, Schumer said, even losing Manchin, we still have 50. Now, they say this should put a chill into Republicans, independents, moderates, and swing voters. Ooh, do tell. Democrats claim they merely want to end the filibuster to protect abortion, okay, and voting rights. Yeah. Yet that would break it for good. The pressure would be immense to add other exceptions, such as to restructure the Supreme Court, make Washington, D.C. a state with two Democratic senators, or ban right-to-work laws. I'm failing to see the downside on this so far, Wall Street Board editorial. Ms. Harris gave a hint of where she stands in her Thursday speech when she said that, quote, with this election, we finally have the opportunity to pass the John Lewis Voting Rights Act and the Freedom to Vote Act. Now, the editorial board goes on to say the only way those can pass next year is if Democrats break the filibuster. This is the agenda that Democrats don't want voters to notice. I absolutely disagree, editorial board. Notice. Yes, notice. That's why you vote for the Democrats so they can get these things done. All of this raises the stakes for the Senate races this year. West Virginia aside, Democrats are now leading in every toss-up race except for Montana. And there, the incumbent, John Tester, is barely trailing his GOP challenger, businessman Tim Sheehy. Tester is refusing to endorse Harris to cover his progressive voting record, and Schumer will spend hundreds of millions of dollars to keep that seat. Now, with Mr. Trump now trailing in the presidential race, Senate control may determine how radical a Harris presidency would be. GOP candidates can sound the alarm, according to the Wall Street Journal editorial board just a few days ago. Listen, I don't know why you think this filibuster is so valuable. If a majority wins with a regular majority, why not implement what the majority wants? And if the implementation, the plans work, and the people appreciate it and continue on with it, then it won't change. And if a bunch of people come out and say, hey, you know what? We don't want that. That didn't work. Why would you have to? Why the 60? And what do you got against the Voting Rights Act? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I get that. Oh, yes, they're going to break it for good. They're going to restructure the Supreme Court. Man, this restructure the Supreme Court. Guy Thomas, his wife was involved in the J6. Man, she was sending out emails trying to convince people to state legislatures to overthrow the election. And dude took like $4+ million in bribes. Oh, I'm sorry. Gratuity? Are you kidding me? These guys are on the stake. There's no reform needed for the Supreme Court. Wall Street Journal, protecting abortion, Voting Rights Act. Well, I get the abortion part of it. And D.C., two Democratic senators. Doesn't Montana have two Democratic senators or two senators? They got like one area code. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Your call's next, 844-967-2789.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
DevilRadioSwag.com. You've asked for it for over a decade. We've finally gotten off our dead and responded. DevilRadioSwag.com. T-shirt and Dom's favorite slimming black, white or gray. DevilRadioSwag.com. Crew necks, hoodies, coffee mugs, exclusive merchandise of the greatest radio show ever, only at the DevilRadioSwag.com, because we got bills too.
It all starts with a question more than 75 years ago. Can hauling a fishing pole to the water hole be made easier? Bob and Bill Johnson find an answer, and the very first multi-section bamboo fishing pole is created. It's 1948. The brothers' invention also leads to the launch of St. Croix Rod Company in Park Falls, and it becomes the talk of the state. So do you know which fish is considered the prize catch in Wisconsin? Is it northern pike, bluegill, or walleye? The answer coming up. The St. Croix Rod Company continues to call Park Falls home, but now operates what is considered the most advanced facility in the country. The company offers more than 800 award-winning rods and reels, still being created as the answer to every angler's fishing question. So which fish is the prized catch? Walleye.
Yeah.
It's challenging to catch, delicious to eat. And this is not the one that got away, but is one true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Brian Kennedy of Glendale.
I've heard Republicans say this is a coup. Nobody voted for Kamala Harris. Yeah, when I voted for Joe Biden in the primaries, I was voting for Kamala Harris to be his vice presidential running mate. In this case, Joe Biden stepped aside. We nominated Kamala Harris.
I think it's a little bit like the Dodgers complaining that the Braves starting pitcher who injured his shoulder yesterday isn't starting today.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy Monday to us all. Thank you for listening. We appreciate that. You can join us on the lines at 844-967-2789. The Wall Street Journal editorial board's op-ed from a couple of days ago warning about the dangers of Kamala Harris and if the Dems take the House and the Senate and they run the table, they'll do away with the filibuster and oh my God, they might, you know, add Washington, D.C. as a state with two senators. And I would say, well, what about like Puerto Rico? But that's that aside, right? Let's think about this for a minute. Now, my understanding, Washington, D.C. as the population is about just under 700,000 people, maybe. I mean, that was from like 2022. Now, Montana population, according to the interwebs, about 1.1 million. All right, so 701 is a half a million people less. So do they deserve representation in the Senate? Do they? I think they do. You know why? Because you want to talk about the population. Wyoming, according to the webs, Wyoming has about 580,000 people, the entire state. So Washington, D.C. has more people than Wyoming. Washington, D.C. has no senators, no representation in federal government. Wyoming has 580,000 people and two senators. And apparently, the Wall Street Journal editorial board has a problem with representation. Why should those folks have some representation? Why not? Because why? Because they're going to be Democratic, because it's generally liberal in D.C.? Is that the only reason? Editorial board? And the John Lewis Voting Rights Act? I mean, and doing something about this corrupt U.S. Supreme Court? Corrupt to the core. Dude took $4 million in gifts, gratuities. Let's just call them bribes. What'd you get for it? Did you get any decisions? I don't know. How would we know? We'd even know that he got $4 million. ProPublica did some great reporting on that fact. And what are they? Oh, we don't need any sort of ethics rules. Well, the entire federal judiciary has rules with the exception of the U.S. Supreme Court. If it's good enough for them, isn't it good enough for you? What they wrote in the Wall Street Journal editorial to me is the exact reason why to vote for the Dems, to vote for Kamala Harris and vote for walls. That's why. Well, what do you got against people getting represented? I get it. You're concerned about you're going to expand the court or add a couple more senators. Yes. Yes. Things evolve. And I get it. You know, rich old white men don't like things to evolve. They like things to stay just the way they were because it's good for them. But keeping people from the polls, having people with no representation in the Senate, citizens of this country, having corrupted U.S. Supreme Court justices who can just take bags of money. Does it matter if it's a free ride on the yacht or if he actually gave them like the $500,000 it would have cost to have that trip? Do you make a distinction? There are gold bars in the fridge, you know what I'm saying? Or packets of $100 bills in the gold bag. Is there a difference? I don't think so. So if you think that everything's just fine, just the way it is, we got it all figured out. We are at the pinnacle of American democracy. Nothing to see here. Move along. Well, then Trump's your guy. Then MAGA's your group. But do you think that maybe we need to continue on this effort? You know, this democracy is a living, breathing thing. You know what I'm saying? It needs to be nourished. It needs to be used and practiced and fomented and pushed and supported. These institutionals, our institutions, same thing. They don't exist outside of our minds, outside of our beliefs. They exist because they need to be supported by the citizenry. They need to be believed by the citizenry. And when you have the situation of the U.S. Supreme Court right now, and that's the corruption. I mean, the precedent thing is also a big problem, a big divergence. So when the Wall Street Journal says, oh, these are things to be scared about, maybe only if you're, you know, really scared of old rich white men being able to get away with it. And Clarence Thomas, 844-967-2789. Okay, policy. So policy, let's talk about the policy. Let's stop about the what a majority would do if the filibuster goes away. I'm down with it. I mean, come on. I don't know why we have the filibuster. If we're going to go there, let's hit the Electoral College as well. Let's reshape this. Let's make it more responsive and reflective of the wish and the will of the American people. And if the American people change their mind, then the American people change their mind. Oh, we don't want a majority swipping things back and forth. Why? Because you got to work. That seems really tough. Maybe you should make sure you pass good bills. But there are some policy items that have come out here recently, and we all hear it. Oh, when is Kamala Harris going to debate? When is she going to put some policies out there? When is she going to do this? When is she going to do that? Well, there are some things out there. And as NBC is reporting, not only are the Dems taking back the freedom mantle, reclaiming the flag, saying that values and character matter, because, you know, at the end of the day, folks, I don't care what you believe, if tax rate should be 90% or tax rate should be 1%. You know, if you have terrible character and no value, you'll get up and say whatever the hell you want. If there's no consistency in your position, if there's no consistency in your argument, there's no consistency in your philosophy, and you just go with the wind because, you know, that's where the power's at, well, then you don't have the character. You don't have the consistency. You don't have the values that you claim you do. They cannot be values if you discard them at the first sign of a little chopped up line of power that you can snort and get a little bit more of next time. Those aren't values. Now, I've been believing weed should be legal since we were in college. Kurt and I got together, man, one of our love of the flower. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of other folks, too. Love of the flower should be legal, should be absolutely legal. There is nothing in this world in the 30 or 40 years I've been consuming this product that would convince me otherwise. I mean, if Donald Trump come up and said, Dom, I'm going to give you $1 billion. I want you to come out against weed legalization. I would not take the money. But apparently, everyone's got a price. It was $2 billion versus, you know, we'll see what happens. Got to pay taxes on that. Unless you just give me vacations, because then nobody pays taxes. Give me a break. All right, 844-967-2789. Let's dive into some of the numbers at the NBC piece. Who is the fiscal conservative? Is it Donald Trump or Kamala Harris? 844-967-2789.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Grants from the National Park Service will help maintain some of Wisconsin's historical sites. The Ringling Brothers Circus Headquarters in Baraboo, the National Soldiers Home Governor's Mansion and Chapel in Milwaukee, and the Annunciation Greek Orthodox Church in Wauwatosa will get some of the $25 million. The Inflation Reduction Act is helping homeowners and the environment with tax credits and rebates for people who make their homes more energy efficient. Supporters say there's plenty of versatility.
And the beauty of the Inflation Reduction Act is that you can combine a lot of these. It's not like you have to just pick one. You can get a couple of different tax incentives for the same project. Well, let's say you're renovating a building while you're also adding some rooftop solar. You could get tax incentives for each of those.
Ben Evans is with the U.S. Green Building Council. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Two people were shot in the early hours of Saturday morning in the downtown Duluth area. According to the Duluth Police Department, the shooting occurred on the 100 block of East 3rd Street at around 2:15 a.m. on Saturday morning. A 56-year-old man who suffered a gunshot wound was taken to a local hospital, and authorities have not released an update on his condition. The other person that was shot, a 29-year-old man, took himself to the hospital and was later released. Authorities have not yet announced an arrest. A brand new jewelry store in Duluth was burglarized just a few weeks after officially opening. According to the Duluth Police Department, the theft from Genero & Co. Jewelry on the 200 block of East Superior Street happened overnight on Wednesday, July 24th. According to a Fox 21 report, law enforcement authorities confirmed that the robbery occurred on Friday, but did not share if any suspects had been identified or if any arrests had been made. Police say the investigation is active and ongoing. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Fifth Time is a charm if you're a fan of John Wick. Multiple sources confirm production will start in 2025 on the fifth installment of the action franchise. Playing the lead role of John Wick will be community theater actor Bob Jablonski. Relax, just kidding. Keanu Reeves will be back for part five. And for those of you who really can't get enough of John Wick, the franchise is planning more content in the form of TV shows. Studios and producers are hoping the film will be ready for a late 2026 release. Travis Kelce Swift is on a roll. It was recently announced he will play a loose cannon police officer opposite another loose cannon police officer in a film titled Loose Cannons. The tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs will appear in Happy Gilmore 2, as confirmed by Happy Gilmore himself, Adam Sandler. Kelce will play a loose cannon cop. Just kidding again. Kelce is on record as saying he would do anything to be in this movie, even date someone only moderately successful like Taylor Swift. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Warm and muggy through the evening, waves of showers and thunderstorms tonight. Some could be severe. Damaging wind gusts the biggest concern, although large hail and isolated tornadoes possible. Still a few storms tomorrow, muggy, but not as warm.
Currently 89 degrees.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. Your news just for the Amory area. I'm James Kelly with WLAK News.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Up North News Radio's Pat Kreitlow joins us. We have Greg Wansnyder from Carroll University and a very special announcement from Dan Schaefer. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
the Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Lines open. Go in there in just a tad. Be patient, callers. We will get to you. I promise. 844-967-2789. If we have enough time yet today, I want to play some of the highlights, some of my favorite clips from the convention. But there's been a big pushback from the righties and the megas about policy and what's she going to do. Very vague. You know, one of the criticisms from Donald Trump, I just throw this in there as an aside. Kamala Harris was telling way too many stories of her upbringing. I'm thinking, yeah, dude, she's introducing herself to the country. Everyone knows you were born on third and thought you hit a triple. Come on, man. Everyone knows you, dude. Everyone knows, and most people have an opinion of you. And I can tell you, mine isn't that great. But I thought Kamala Harris did a great job, and I appreciated the background, the backstory. Yeah, you know, those things matter, Trump. Some people love their family. I don't remember you mentioning your mother or your father ever. Ever. 844-967-2789. NBC News reporting. Kamala Harris is endorsing trillions of dollars in new tax revenues to fund her new policy plans, and her campaign is attacking Trump for failing to outline how he'd pay for the multi-trillion dollar agenda he's campaigning on. Ooh, it's a pay-go? Is that what we're doing now? Ooh, let's read more. Harris campaign spokesperson James Singer labeled Trump's agenda, quote, an inflation and deficit bomb in a statement to NBC News, sparking a Trump campaign response, blaming her for a Biden-Harris inflation tax. According to nonpartisan estimates, Harris is proposing to spend about $2 trillion and raise $5 trillion in tax revenues over a decade. Trump is calling for about $5 trillion in tax breaks and spending while raising less than $3 trillion in revenue through tariffs. Hands down, VP Harris is being much more fiscally disciplined than Donald Trump, said Mark Zandi, chief economist at Moody's Analytics. You know that lefty Moody's Analytics Corporation, right? It's a clear signal that whatever the policies, they plan to be fiscally disciplined. And that is a bit of a flip. Historically, being fiscally disciplined and focused on budget deficits have been a Republican rally cry. Yeah, historically. A Harris campaign spokesperson says she supports the $5 trillion in new tax revenues in the White House budget released in March, including a corporate tax rate hike from 21% to 28%, ending the Trump tax cuts for upper earners next year, and an array of taxes on wealthier Americans. Now, Harris' plans aimed at lowering housing, childcare, and prescription drug prices that would cost about $1.7 trillion, according to the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, a research group that calls for cutting red ink. Now, Zandi agreed with that estimate, saying the new Harris plans would total $1.5 million to a high end of $2 trillion before the offset. So at the very least, she should have about $3 trillion in deficit reduction over the 10-year budget horizon. I can't recall a deficit reduction package that comes even close to that, says the dude from Moody's Analytics. Now, Harris is seeking to flip the script on fiscal responsibility and build a permission structure for Trump skeptical moderate Republicans and center-right voters to support her candidacy, particularly in key swing states where they could be decisive, think Wisconsin. She has disavowed some left-wing proposals she endorsed in 2019 as a presidential candidate, such as Medicare for All and a Green New Deal. Mark Goldwyn, senior policy director for a Committee for Responsible Federal Budget, cautioned that the Harris campaign hasn't earmarked all the $3 trillion for deficit reduction. A quote, they've also pointed to that they're going to have plans on child care, long-term care, and paid leave. And he noted extending Trump's tax cuts for lower earners in 2025 would also offset her revenue raisers. We just haven't seen the full plan yet. All right, but we've got a sense, right? And there's other things in there that could cost some money that haven't been you know, equaled out yet. But we got a framework at least. Now, what about Trump? Now, Trump and his campaign had been calling for extending the 2017 tax cuts. I would mention those are unpaid for, as well as eliminating payroll taxes on Social Security, nixing tapes on tips, and boosting child care credit to $5,000. Now, taken together, his plans would cost about $5 trillion, as Andy said. Now, last Friday in Vegas, how he would pay for the plans, Trump told reporters, growth, We're going to have tremendous growth. We're going to have tremendous growth. If you say it three times in a row, Trump, does it really happen? Where's Dr. Evil's secret lair? Where's Dr. Evil's secret lair? Where's Dr. Evil's secret lair? Come on. Isn't that, they always say we're going to grow out of it, right? I mean, then that's a trickle down. Oh, we're going to trickle down and give tax cuts to the wealthy, and we're going to grow. It's going to expand. We're going to grow our way out of it. When does that ever happen? Now, Goldwyn said that is not a serious proposition. Did we mention Trump is an unserious candidate? Tremendous growth sounds like a great idea. I don't know why we didn't do that in all previous administrations. But no, you're not going to grow your way out of this. Come on. Trump's one big proposal to raise revenue for the government is through new taxes on imported goods, a 10% worldwide tariff, and 60% tariff on Chinese imports. Zandi projected that would bring in as much as $2.5 trillion in revenue. The Tax Policy Center estimated that Trump's tariffs would raise $2.8 trillion in revenue, slashing imports by 15%. Now, Goldman added that Trump's tariffs and mass deportation policies could shrink growth, even as some of his proposed tax cuts are good for economic growth. Another quote. So as a starting point, if you look at his whole agenda, the direction isn't even clear. It could be pro-growth or anti-growth, but the magnitude is definitely not going to be such that it's so pro-growth that it covers trillions and trillions of dollars of spending and additional borrowing. So whoever wins the election, Congress is headed for a major tax debate next year, with much of the 2017 Trump tax cut set to expire at the end of 2025. It's unclear which parts will be extended. And finally, Trump's Harris campaign calls Trump's plan an inflation and deficit bomb. Singer predicted higher deficits under Trump's plan would ultimately be covered by ordinary Americans. Yeah, think about this. Donald Trump won't pay for his agenda, but the middle class will. With higher costs, cuts to Social Security and Medicare, and less economic opportunity, Singer said in an email. By contrast, Harris will make billionaires and big corporations pay their fair share while she builds up the middle class. In response, Trump campaign spokesperson Caroline Levitt accused the Biden-Harris administration of engaging in reckless spending, saying America faces an inflationary spending problem, not a revenue problem. Well, that's one way to look at it. There's two sides of the equation, though, yo. She indicated that Trump would seek to boost U.S. oil production and exports, even as they've reached all-time highs under the Biden administration. I mean, drill, baby, drill is already happening. And, that's not great for the climate, but okay. And Trump's going to do it more? Because how? In what policy exactly? Drill, baby, drill. Oh, don't forget. I mean, dictator for a day is going to bring in tons of money. Because if you're a dictator for a day, you just go take stuff, right? Because that's what dictators do. Levitt said, President Trump will cut wasteful government spending and make America a net exporter of energy again to help balance our nation's budget and pay off our mounting debt. Trump has also mused about cutting taxes further on individuals and businesses next year, which would raise his red ink estimates. Now, Zandi said that Trump's 2017 tax cut did lift growth in terms of corporate investments, but it didn't come close to paying for itself, and that extending them would add more red ink. There's no way he's going to get that kind of growth. The deficit finance tax cuts just don't pay for themselves. Zandi from Moody's, the deficit finance tax cuts just don't pay for themselves. 844-967-2789. So we've got a little samples here of what Trump's thinking to do and what the Harris presidency would do. What would you do? Where are you at? 844-967-2789. Let's get to some patient callers. Cam from Appleton, Wisconsin. Thank you, Cam. What do you got for us?
Hey, I think a lot of people unfortunately missed out on a 12-year-old was arguing with Mike Lindell in public over, I don't even know what nonsense it was.
It was over voting, like, you know, illegal ballots in Georgia. And Lindell was like, Georgia, you read your newspapers. There's thousands, hundreds of thousands, read your newspapers. And the 12-year-old kid was like, so what, you're convincing me is trust me, bro? I mean, that's your evidence? Trust me, bro? A 12-year-old, I mean, push back. It was amazing. Yeah. And it's hard to recognize Lindell, man. He went incognito. He shaved off the mustache, put on a hat. He'd be like Crudy without the red hat and the goatee. He wouldn't even recognize the guy.
Well, so that was kind of weird, right? Because Lindell, I don't know if that took place at the DNC or what, but
yes, it did.
I know,
yes.
Matt Walsh was crawling around at the DNC, and so was Charlie Kirk and a couple of his friends. I don't know how they distribute credentials for folks like them to go, but I don't know. I don't know why anyone would give them the time of day. They've done nothing but be irresponsible with the platforms that they own.
No doubt, Cam. I totally get that. And who knows? I don't know how they got them. I mean, Civic Media hooked it all up for us, so that's all I know. I don't know how those cats got them. But, you know, I don't object to it necessarily. I mean, if you want to go to the DNC and get lit up by a 12-year-old Mike Lindell, knock yourself out. Kind of tells you where you're coming from. Thank you, Cam, for the call. 844-967-2789. Mike from St. Paul, Minnesota. Welcome to the show, Mike. What do you got for us?
Hey, I was thinking about the filibuster, and I was thinking about a population-weighted filibuster. And basically, it would be if California has each senator has one vote now, but if California has more population, it would be given more votes based on its population, and say North Dakota would be given less votes based on its population, so that the 40% rule, they'd have to get 40% of the senators from that population to cancel the bill. So that's my
yeah, I like what you're saying, Mike. I get what you're saying, but wouldn't that just kind of take away from the value of the two senators per state? I mean, you know, California's the largest populous state in the states. They get two senators. You know, Montana and Wyoming, you know, they each get two senators. You know what I'm saying? And, and D.C.'s got more population than I think Wyoming does. So I hear what you're saying. Why not then just have the population, you know, derive the number of senators you get? Right. You know what I'm saying?
This is the way you're getting around. You still have the filibuster, but
why have the filibuster? I mean, why do you think, are you in favor of keeping the filibuster? Why not just, you know, 50% plus one, 51 votes? Why is that a bad thing? And
I'm just being pragmatic because that will give political fodder for saying, you know, majority is riding roughshod. But if the senators from say North Dakota has like a half a vote, consider and all those they'd have to get a majority of small population states together to defeat the bill. And they still maybe in their mind consider that fair.
Yeah, that's a tough one, Mike. Thanks for the call, man. I do appreciate it. You know, I mean, I get the sense that, you know, you don't want, you know, California, Texas, and New York determining the laws for all the land. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if everything was just based on the population. But I also am not clear why the fear of not having the filibuster. This thing is a rule. It wasn't always there. It's not in the Constitution. It could very easily not be there. If the concern is that, you know, the majority runs roughshod, well, it's 51%, you know, 51-49, it's a majority. If you're going to want change in this country to be effective, why are you putting up a false barrier of 60 votes? Why not 65? Why not 55? You know what I mean? Oh, it's a two-thirds. We came up, you can come up with any number. It's arbitrary. And to me, I would think, like, if it's the majority, if it's 51%, 50 plus one, and it's only 100 senators, right? If it's over 50, that's what happens. Those people who voted in those senators, and those senators presumably did the will of the people, and there's 51 or more that want X, Y, or Z done, welcome to the will of the people. And if the next election cycle, if the other team gets ahead and they want to redo something or make a new law or, you know, give some tax breaks or give some tax cuts, then you know what? Then you do it again. Oh, it's going to be up and down, changing all the time. Yeah, it's government. It's like work. Maybe you wouldn't campaign for most of the year. You'd have to like show up and do something. And also, while we're at it, let's shorten the campaigns to like 30, maybe 90 days. You know, come on. This has been a glorious campaign. I can't wait for it to be over. It doesn't need to be years long, man. I get it. Trump's never stopped running. Well, he's always running from the man, but he's running to be the man so he doesn't have to be caught by the man and do what the man tells him to do. I'm telling you to call the Devil's Advocates. One more segment for your take, 844-967-2789.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Law enforcement across Wisconsin is speaking out in support of Tammy Baldwin for U.S. Senate. Listen to Sheriff Kurt Fell of Rock County.
Every day we battle illegal drugs coming into our community, and we know the attacks on Tammy Baldwin are not true.
Sheriff Jeff Scatroot of Greene County.
Tammy's working with law enforcement to stop the flow of fentanyl.
And Sheriff Calvin Barrett of Dane County.
She brought Democrats and Republicans together to crack down on the drugs coming from China and Mexico, giving us more tools to fight drug smugglers.
It's Tammy Baldwin who stood with the Border Patrol on border security. She supported the strongest border security bill in decades.
And Tammy voted 32 times to strengthen the border. She's fighting the flow of people and fentanyl coming across the border.
It's Tammy Baldwin I trust.
I trust.
I trust to help us keep Wisconsin safe.
I'm Tammy Baldwin running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
DevilRadioSwag.com. You've asked for it for over a decade. We've finally gotten off our dead ass and responded. DevilRadioSwag.com. T-shirt and Dom's favorite slimming black, white, or gray. DevilRadioSwag.com. Crew necks, hoodies, coffee mugs, exclusive merchandise of the greatest radio show ever, only at the DevilRadioSwag.com, because we got bills too.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. They put out fake AI photos of
Taylor Swift saying that she endorsed him.
Right. And Trump retweeted that. And of course, all of that is untrue.
Don't mess with the Swifties. You'll have my daughters showing up.
I mean, it's a whole new level of Swift boating.
Trump and Las Vita might get Swift boated. All right. Taylor Swift boated.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now, 844-967-2789. Rich will screen the calls and we'll get you on the air. Well, the show actually went kind of fast. Rich, thanks for the work. I do want to get a couple of the sound bites out there. Strong black women, man, Oprah, Michelle Obama, Kamala Harris, to me, were the most impactful. I mean, just best speeches I've heard given at a political at the DNC. I've never seen that before, never heard that before, and I think it's important to highlight. This is historic, not only historic because of course Kamala Harris, but these strong black women getting up on that stage and telling you what it's like, getting stuff done. I thought it was great, and I want to highlight just a few of them that I really liked. Rich, we're gonna start with Oprah, cut number 4. I didn't know this when she said this. She was an independent. I just kind of assumed she was always a Democrat, but, you know, who knows? She's an independent. Let's hear what she had to say, cut 4.
I'm calling on all you independents and all you undecideds. You know this is true. You know I'm telling you the truth, that values and character matter most of all.
Yeah. Yes, they do. Oprah. They matter. They matter. And it's on the ballot. Decency's on the ballot. Cut number 5, please.
Decency and respect are on the ballot in 2024.
Decency, respect, character, and values. Are those any attributes that you would give to Donald Trump? I mean, for real. When you look at Donald Trump, and there's an op-ed, and I didn't get to this today, maybe tomorrow. I think it was Rich Lowry from the National Review got his opinion posted at the New York Times saying, like, Donald Trump can win on character. And he's just getting his ass handed to him on the social medias. So is the New York Times. Why are you putting this up? But we'll get there tomorrow. Not time today. Man, I wish we had another hour. Let's keep a couple more from some of my favorite speeches. Oprah, Talking about the cat lady. Cut six, please.
And if the place happens to belong to a childless cat lady, well, we try to get that cat out too.
Gotta love the cat lady comments. And I think we have, I'll do one more from Oprah. Cut number seven. See if this reminds you of anybody. Cut seven, please, Rich.
When we stand together, it is impossible to conquer us.
You know, our pal, the very comparable Maggie Dawn, she signs off talking about standing together. And I thought that as soon as I heard that, I thought of Maggie. Let's go move on to Michelle Obama. Hope making a comeback. Don't call it a comeback. It's been here for years. Cut nine.
America, hope is making a comeback.
Yeah, Michelle, cut 10. Let's keep going.
Kamala Harris is more than ready for this moment. She is one of the most qualified people ever to seek the office of the presidency.
Yeah, you think? District Attorney in California, Attorney General California, largest state in the country, fifth largest economy in the world, elected Senator California, Vice President. Yeah, that seems pretty qualified. I'll skip a couple more. Go vote, cut 11.
This election is going to be close. In some states, just a handful, listen to me, a handful of votes in every precinct could decide the winner. So we need to vote in numbers that erase any doubt.
Yes, indeed. And that would be, if this thing, it's going to be close, but what if it wasn't? What if it's a blowout? I mean, you got to act like you're losing. You know what I'm saying? You got to keep in that mentality. But boy, it would really send a signal if it was a blowout. One more, the best one from the former First Lady. Cut 12, please.
His limited, narrow view of the world made him feel threatened by the existence of two hardworking, highly educated, successful people who happen to be black. I want to know, who's going to tell him that the job he's currently seeking might just be one of those black jobs?
Oh, man. That crowd was off the hook. Let's go to some VP Harris. If you would, Rich, it might take you a second to pull up. I understand. Take your time. If we get to it, that's great. When, you know, Kamala Harris accepts the nomination, again, the introductions by all the folks, it was the crowd was into it. There was hope. There was energy. Let's hear the history of Kamala Harris accepting the nomination.
On behalf of everyone whose story could only be written in the greatest nation on earth, I accept your nomination.
Fantastic. I think we'll get two more if we can, Rich. The Trump is not serious. Now, we reference this of a New Republic piece, Michael Tomasky saying, ridicule them. That's what gets under his skin, specifically Trump. Let's hear what VP Harris had to say.
In many ways, Donald Trump is an unserious man. But the consequences of putting Donald Trump back in the White House are extremely serious.
And the last one, if you would, please, Rich, out of their minds. Let's do the longer 21 seconds, please. Oh, we don't have it. Oh, man, that was the best one. When Harris is talking about the Republicans wanting to, what, set up a committee to track your track abortions in states, they are out of their minds. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Thank you for hanging out with me. Thank you for listening. Crudy back tomorrow. I expect the same from you as well. Have a great night. We'll see you then.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel entertainment reporter Chris Foran joins the show to talk movies and TV. And Wisconsin native comedian Mary Mack joins the show to talk about her tour of the state.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.